So we started this morning, we saw, I will just give a short overview of what we did in the first part. So we saw that God gave Isaiah a really impression vision. I think that it's, you can see it behind me, we don't have to read it again. But Isaiah had a glance into the temple and he saw what's going on there as part of his preparation for the job that he will have to do next. And we have seen that God sits on the throne high and above. He was sitting there and he's sitting there today as well. We also mentioned that the throne is also a throne of judgment if you do not belong to God, but it's a throne of grace if you do. So if you don't, I would settle this issue still before we go home today, because it may be too late later. We never know. We saw that that God completely filled the temple, and we said that he should fill the temple, his temple in our heart. We saw that God is so holy that the seraphim has to cover themselves from his holiness. And on the other hand, they are so impressed that they shout to each other that God is holy to the way that the house was shaking. We said that if we will be able to look into our hearts and see God sits on the throne there and feel the heart, our heart will shake in the same way. And we saw finally that God responds to this kind of worship with his presence. And we said that we should expect his presence with us when we worship him in the same way. So now as we worship him, you know, worship is not only singing, it's all that we do for the Lord, the way that we live, the way that we do church. I think that if we will worship him today, like this, those seraphim, or like in the way that he wants us to serve him, we may experience his presence as well. But you know, God gave Isaiah this kind of great vision, great tour in the temple, but it's not the end of the story. No, we like it to be the end of the story. By the way, I heard so many songs that we sing about the first half of the story. I never sang one song that deal with the second part of the story. Just interesting to see. So we are going to touch the second part of the story now. So Isaiah sees what he sees, and he has a very strong reaction. And he says this, Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 5. He says, "And I said, woe to me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. And he said, go." What a reaction, huh? Girls, remember that I told you that if you find somebody like David, take him. If you find a guy like Isaiah, that's a good deal. He may not have money, but he has a lot of other stuff. So let us go in and examine what Isaiah sees, or what he says about what he sees. And his first reaction, he says in good Hebrew, "Oy vey, I'm a sinner." And this is so impression because he looked at the holiness of God, and the first thing that he can see that he is a sinner. He says, I'm really bad. And you know, we have a tendency to be blind to our impurity. Now, I know we're all Christians, most of us. And we say, I'm not perfect, right? But you know, by saying I'm not perfect, we really deceive ourselves. That's not the point that we are not perfect. We know that you're not perfect. We all know. The point is that we are something else. Just see how God looks at us. He says that there is none that is righteous. None. Not even one. No one understands. No one seeks for the Lord. All have turned aside. No one does good. No one does good. Not even one. There is no fear before the eyes of any of us. You see, that's a good description of who we are. It's not that I'm not perfect. No, not perfect means I'm good, not perfect. I'm 98%, not perfect. God said that we are dirty. That's the point. We're not just not perfect. We are dirty, completely dirty. That's who we are. And when Isaiah looks at the holiness of God, that's what he sees. Now, I remember Orit and me, 27 years ago, hearing the gospel for the first time, reading the Bible for the first time in order to understand it, and we could say that if there is God, we didn't think that there is God then, but we could say if there is God, we are in big trouble. Because he is so holy, and we are not. We are dirty. And that's exactly what Isaiah sees. Paul writes to the Ephesians in chapter 2, he said that we are all dead to our trespasses, walking in the way of Satan's, sons of disobedience. That's a good picture. No, that's who we are. No, so we can dress nice, we can speak nice, we can carry the book with us all day. That's fine. And we can impress each other. But when you look at yourself in the mirror, early in the morning, before we put all this stuff that makes us look nicer, that's who we are, you know. That's who we are. And Isaiah says, I'm in a big problem. Woe to me. Because I am hopeless. You know, we talk a lot about our judgment day. And we think that it will be a long trial. That God will take people and say, okay, you did this and this and this and this and this and this. There is no need to be a big trial for us, right? Let's say that our bill will be just with 10 lines, you know, the 10 commandments. That's enough, huh? No, it will not be so long. We'll have only two. Two questions that God will ask. Did you love me with all of your heart and soul and might? Did you have your neighbor like you love yourself? That's it. Now imagine that we will have the trial today, us. Just for what we did this morning until now. Did you love God with all of your heart and soul and might this morning? What will I do if God asks me this question at 12 o'clock today? I'm hopeless. Because the first thing that I thought this morning when I woke up, that I love myself so much. For many good reasons, as you know. I just wanted to realize that Isaiah is not worried about something bad that he did this morning. He doesn't say, woe to me because I was lying to the government and they didn't pay my taxes. That's not the point. He's not worried about what he did, but about who he is. say, I'm a man. This is the reality. I'm a man of unclean lips. Anytime that I open my mouth, it's bad. Anytime that I think, it's bad. Anytime that I do something, it's bad because I am bad. See, so it's not about what we do, it's mainly about who we are. And of course, we will not do it today, but if we study the sacrifices of God in the book of Leviticus, you find out that at least the three sacrifices has to do not with what we do, but with who we are. So we are already sinners because we are sinners. That's the point. We do have unclean lips, and through our lips you can see the heart. That's the window that you can look through it. So James says that our tongue is so bad, and we use it on Sunday to praise the Lord, and on Monday to curse people. Right? Those that drive faster than us on the road, those that come and cut into our lane, our boss that is not so nice like we think it should be, not to talk about our family members that we love to say here that we love them, but in our minds. Can we see what bothers Isaiah when you see it? People may think that we are good people because we can make a good show. Maybe we are okay. But the point is that we are people with unclean lips. This is just half of the problem. The second thing that he says, oy vey, you are holy. That's the problem. You see, the fact that I'm not so good, it's not a big deal when I see all of you. Right? No. Speaking, no, with some truth in our heart, we know that we are not perfect. And we know that we are not really good. But none of us thinks that he is in the bottom of the bucket. Right? I'm not as good as I should be, that's true. And I'm not the best in this room, but I'm within the 20 better percent here. Right? 25. Okay, I don't want to boast too much. But if we have 200 people around us, we can easily find 100 people that are not as spiritual as us. Is that true or not? Now we can say, I'm nothing, but what do we live? And no, it may even be true. But he says, my problem is that my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, when we look into our heart, and if this is the temple of God and God is there, the first thing that we will see that we are really dirty. The first thing that we will see will be this. And no, we tend to compare ourselves to others. David said, I want to compare myself only to the Lord. Now, it's not fun to do, I tell you, it's not fun to do when you do it. But that's what you do. And anyone that you find in the Bible that met the holiness of God thought that he's going to die. Remember Manoah, the father of Samson? He told his wife, we surely die for we have seen God. That's it. You cannot be exposed to this kind of holiness and stay there. You cannot. It's not possible. So how can we celebrate the holiness of God with so easily? God is holy. And he says that he will never give his holiness or his glory to anyone else. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 48. That's the picture that Isaiah sees. He says, woe to me, I am a sinner. Woe to me because you are holy. Did we ever have this kind of feeling? Woe to me. God is so holy. I'm so dirty. Now just imagine that our time would be up now. We will have to go home with this message. But you know, God has something else for us. And the third thing that's happening is that God tells Isaiah, you are forgiven. God had a full right to tell Isaiah, you know, Isaiah, you are right. You are a man of unclean lips, and the people around you are the same. Therefore, get out of my presence, and I will judge you for who you are. This will be completely right for God to do. Completely right. But God is not only holy, He is also merciful. He is love. And this is maybe, you know, if you cannot remember everything that we said today, or that we will say, remember this, because this is important. Isaiah recognized his sinfulness. He recognized that he is hopeless. He turned to God with his hopelessness and received grace. You see the point? That's what repentance is all about, right? Not, I will make a decision to believe. I can do it. No. Isaiah saw this vision and he thought that he's going to die today. He thought that he's going to hell today. That was in his mind. And just this kind of recognition and coming to the Lord with this brought him salvation. And of course, it's not different in our case because we are people with unclean lips. And if we did not turn to the Lord with our hopelessness, He didn't touch our lips and never told us that we are forgiven. But He did say it to Isaiah. And it's interesting because He says that that your sin were atoned for, meaning somebody paid for it. And again, another problem that we have, we talk about salvation as free. It's not free, just that you know. It has such a high price that we cannot pay. But it's not free, it's a gift. You see the difference? When I buy something to my children, I give them a gift, but usually it's not free. I have to pay for it. And if God gave us this gift of salvation, it's free for us, but He had to pay the price. And He did. Just it's good for us to remember. And God, because He is love, He always seeks to give this grace, starting at the Garden of Eden. You know, where the first couple did what they did, they had to run to God and say, hey God, you know, we did something really wrong. What can we do now? But they chose to hide. Well, if I would be God, I would just leave them alone there. But God is love. So He was reaching out for them. Where are you? Making them clothes, taking care of them, kicking them out of His presence and giving them a promise that they will be back. You see the point? So the angel comes to Isaiah and says, you have a chance. You know, Job had the same problem. No, he thought that he is a righteous man. By the way, he was a righteous man. That's what the Bible says. But he was not perfect. Well, comparing to God's holiness, he was dirty. And after he meets the Lord, just then he understands. He sees the glory of God. And then in Job chapter 14, verse 5, it says, Job says, I am of small account. What shall I answer to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once, and I will not answer twice. And then in chapter 42, in verse 5, it says, I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Can you see the process of Isaiah and Job walking through the same path, receiving salvation? Did we go through this path to receive salvation? If we didn't, my friends, we are not there. I'm happy to tell you that it's not too late. If you didn't go through it, it's not too late. It can be done now. By the way, before we finish this sermon, before, not after, don't wait later. It may snow. You see, I would do it right now. But that's the process that we must take. And then when we do it, God will tell us, your guilt is taken away and your sins atoned for. That's what it tells Isaiah. But again, it's not the end of the story. Isaiah has another problem. He says, Oy vey, my people are people of unclean lips. See, there's another problem. And now we go to another issue. I would think that the majority here are born again believers, right? So I want to ask all of us, why did God save you? Can you give a good answer for this? Why did God save me? Why did he save you and you and you? Why? And I know the answer is because God is love and he loves me. That's true. I'm so happy about it. But I must tell you, it's not the whole story. God never, never give a blessing to a person for his own good only. Never. See, God chose Israel to be his people, right? So we enjoy it. Michelle and Dorit and me, we enjoy it. There are some more, I know, here that can enjoy it. But you enjoy it too, right? God gave us, or chose us, so we will be light for the nations. And we are the light for you. That's why you use Waze when you drive. You know, this is an Israeli product. Okay? You know, you use flash drives. Comes from us. That's what you know. You can thank us later outside, okay? Not now. But you see, God gave us his law so we can give you the gospel. And say, I will give the gospel to the Jew first because they understand, they have the law. And I will give it to the rest. So the Jewish people cannot say, this is my Messiah, don't touch him, it's mine. No, no, no. It's not working like this. And if God happened to make you tall, he really meant that you will help the short people to bring stuff on the highest shelf. You see? There is nothing that you received for you only. There is nothing, nothing at all. And that's what bothers Isaiah. He says, okay, maybe I am okay, but what about all these people? They are all with unclean lips. You see the point? If God saved us, he saved us that we will be a light for the people around us. It's not only for us. And I want to ask ourselves, how much do we really care for the people outside? You see, we are sitting here in church. We will be done sometime, you know. I'm not sure how much time I'm going to take, but it may be long. And when we are done, we'll get into our cars, drive home to eat, and we will see hundreds of people that know nothing about the Lord. Does it bother us at all? Or we say, I don't care. How many times we see somebody that needs help and we tell ourselves, it's not my problem? How many times we do it? And I'm not picking on you, I'm picking on us. Because, you know, I'm just the same. We have our life, and I have enough for my own, and I don't want to take care of other people. Well, in the church I have to. But outside, what about all of those? If God gave us salvation, this is good because He loves us. But it's also an expression of His love for the people around us, not only for us. You know, God gave the church gifts. And you know, we are not talking now about the spiritual gifts and if and when and why, and that's not the subject. But if you read in 1 Corinthians 12, it said God gave to this and to this and to this, it says for the common good. It's not for you. Who are you? It's not for you. So if somebody had the gift of tongues, it was not for him. If he had the gift of healing, it's not for him to be healthy. It's for other people to be healthy. You see? It was for, even not for this, if we tell the truth, it's for the witness, for the salvation that God can give. But anything that we receive, it's not for us. It's that we will give, share with others. And that's exactly what Isaiah understood. He said, well, I'm sitting with these people. What next? And we have some examples. Now, remember Moses? When God wanted to kill the nation of Israel, Moses came and said, don't kill them. Kill me. Don't kill them. Paul said, I'm willing to give up my salvation for my people. Would we be willing to say something like this? So God says, Isaiah says, I have a problem with the people that I live around them. And God gives an answer. He says, there is hope, but there is work. That's always the story, huh? And we know God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. But this has not come just by itself. So God asked Isaiah, He says, okay, Isaiah, I see the point. Who shall I send? And who will go for us? But before we go into the question, I just want you to see, well, the wording of the question. God doesn't say, okay, Isaiah, who can help? Okay, Isaiah, who can do the work? But He says, who will go for us? See the point? Isaiah and God now having one project together. So who will go for us? For us. We are going to do it together. And this should not surprise us, because when God sent Jesus to the world, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work. You see, Jesus came to give salvation, and He and the Father works together. It's one work. But then Jesus said, when He prayed for the believers in John 17, He says to God, as You sent me to the world, I send them to the world. So now we understand that reaching out to the lost is something that God is doing, and Jesus is doing, and we are doing. One project. Whom shall I send? For us, not for them. You see, when we share the gospel, it's not for them, it's for us. is the work of God. And then God says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah says, here I am, send me. Are we willing to say, here I am, send me? If we do, I think that not many of us will be so happy to engage into the battle, like those guys behind me. Oh, we are there, we are one, okay. You saw the soldiers, they're ready to go? Okay. Many, or some will say yes, but we look like those guys. Others will be afraid, run to the desert, hopefully to pray. Some will be just panic. So it's not really important if you will be like this or like that. Still walking? It's working for us? No, go twice. Okay, like this or like that. We still need to tell God, here I am, send me. Send me. And it's interesting that God answered, okay, go. You know what God does not say? Where to go? He never does. Remember Abraham? God came and said, go to the place that I will show you. Wait. It's not working like this. Do they have Wi-Fi there? Can I drink the water or should I bring bottled water with me? Would they have television? What the weather like? What kind of clothes? I cannot tell you how many times we checked the weather in Chicago in the internet before we came here. We are still surprised. But you see, it's very easy to say, hey, here I am, send me, when you know where you go. But God never tells you ahead of time where you go. Remember Jeremiah? God tells him, I want you to talk for me. He said, where will I go? What should I say? So you go. When the time comes, I will tell you. Remember Jesus said, go, preach the gospel. And when you need to talk, the Spirit will help you. Don't worry, just go. Just go. Without knowing where. I told some guys here that I have some plans to go to reach out to the Russians next summer in Moscow. I need some support for it, by the way. I think that I will go there, and if there will be some kind of a soccer championship there, World Cup, something, okay. I can share the gospel there. You see? When you go, when you say, yes, God, send me, you promise to go anywhere that he will send you. There is better chance that he will not send me to Moscow. He probably will send me to Zimbabwe. Okay, or to a place that you don't have so much goods. He may send you to the nice place. Usually he doesn't. But Isaiah, after seeing this vision in the heaven and seeing the glory of God, seeing the holiness of God, that's his reaction. Send me. I will be there for you. Are we willing to say it now? So let's summarize it. If we want to be reacting like Isaiah, we need to look into the temple of the Lord in our heart to be impressed and to praise the Lord to the point that that our heart will shake. We need to ask God for forgiveness and to be willing to serve the Lord wherever he chooses. And then, I promise you that God will give us a good job to do. Then we should start to work. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Here I am. Send me. Let's pray. So easy for us to say that we will serve you, God, that we will be willing to go anywhere you send us. But please, please show us your glory in a way that we will not be able to ignore it anymore. That we will be real servants, real people of God. Make us real ambassadors of the gospel. Will go and reach out anywhere that you send us. Make us faithful servants here in the church and then in our working places, in the schools, in our neighborhoods. Thank you for choosing people like us, people of unclean lips. Thank you for touching us and atoning for our sins. Be glorified by us. We thank you in Jesus' name.